Welcome back, everyone, to Critical Moves. This is your host, Jack, and today I'm joined by Adam.
Hello, everyone.
And a very warm welcome to Sid, our newest member here at Critical Moves.
Hi, everyone. Happy to be here.
So today's topic, we're going to be breaking down and talking about the Sudden Strike series of war games. Currently published by Calypso, being developed by Fireglow, they've recently announced Sudden Strike 5 at, I think it was Gamescom, and they made some, I suppose, ambitious promises from the outside for those who are unaware of the series, something like double the amount of units and something like triple the amount of vehicles or something ridiculous like that. So we're going to be talking about our experiences with Sudden Strike. Sudden Strike as a strategy franchise, as a wargaming franchise, and the promises that the developer and publisher have made for Sudden Strike 5 next year. So thank you everybody for tuning in. But back to the person of the hour, Sid, it's great to have you on the podcast.
Happy to be here. Excited to be joining this wonderful team here at Critical Moves. Excited to talk about Sudden Strike.
All right. Well, Sid, I think you're the one who did the most amount of research for this episode, unfortunately. So I'm going to go ahead and jump right in. What is your experience with Sudden Strike?
So Sudden Strike, it's a real-time tactics game. A lot of people confuse it with sort of RTS, but it has no sort of base building, things like that. You know, you get a set, a kind of like a pre-scripted amount of reinforcements. So you have to be sort of really tactical with your decisions. You can run out of things like fuel. You can get injured. You have to think about sending medics to your injured soldiers and things like that. You know, sending repair vehicles. You have to make sure that your repair vehicles are well protected. Don't send them out straight away with the other units. You know, sort of hang them back slightly. So it's got this real sort of tactical aspect to it. My experience is actually there's obviously four Sudden Strikes currently, but my experience is with the first one and the fourth one. I unfortunately haven't played two or three, but one and four is probably the ones I've played the most. I mean, four being the one I probably played more than one because I was quite young when the first one came out.
Awesome. And Adam, do you have any experience with Sudden Strike?
You see, so I was also quite young when the first came out. And the issue is that when it came out, I played things like Knight and Merchants, Age of Empires. You know, I don't know if you had it, but I was too young for me to understand that there could be a game without base building. And it's an RTS. Like, you know what I mean? Like, my head couldn't handle this change of pace and this change of thinking that you basically cannot build another 20 units in order to defeat an enemy. You need to manage all your army. And that was the issue. And to be honest, I didn't like it. I tried the first game, and I guess I had the second one at some, you know, magazine. The magazines published like this version of the game. When you buy the magazine, you could receive like two free games, and one of them was Sudden Strike 2. But I really couldn't really like understand how does it play. So that's my question for Sid. Like, Sid, what this game is all about? Like, you sit down. You cannot be like you play. You told that it is not an RTS game, but it looks like RTS. So what is it like? How would you describe the gameplay?
Really? It has the soul of an RTS, but in fact, it is a tactics game because, as I said so previously, you do have to think about those minute little things. Like earlier today, before the podcast, I thought, you know what, I'll revisit Sudden Strike 4. I played some of the campaign levels, and in one of my playthroughs, I sent all the units up to this bunker to kind of destroy it and take it over. But then my tanks ran out of fuel, and I was going, you know, what should I do? What should I do? But luckily, at the sort of bottom of the map, there was a supply line. So I sent a few of my units down there to sort of get some supplies. But then I was bombarded with this other sort of enemy unit and completely destroyed my my units while I was there. So in terms of the gameplay itself, you really do have to think about things like fuel, ammo. You can run out of ammo as well. So it's that sort of careful planning of each bits of the map that you have to go across, basically. And because it's Fog of War, I mean, the one cool aspect of Sudden Strike is that depending on, obviously, the doctrines, because obviously we'll talk about that later, but in Sudden Strike, there's sort of this leader system, which have specific sort of abilities. Basically, depending on how you, you know, what type of leader you choose, they have certain abilities that can help you throughout your mission. Like one of the abilities was the peering out of your tank to clear some of the fog of war. So if you, for example, select a tank, you can also select one of the soldiers to peer out of the hatch. And this clears more of the fog of war, and it sort of gives you more visibility, so you can see further out, which is quite a cool, clever thing. Can't quite remember what other games have done this. I'm sure there's other games that have this kind of mechanic. But because there's no base building, there's no infinite number of units and things that you bring in. So you have to be very, you know, quite sort of particular with how you approach each mission. You do get reinforcements, but they're very scripted at the moment in these sort of previous games. But as we, I'm sure we'll talk about in Sudden Strike 5, they want to change that. So it's a more sort of open play, open way of having reinforcements. But I guess we'll touch on that later. But I suppose it's kind of, if you've played Commandos, it's a little bit like Commandos, mixture of, you know, Men of War. You know, it has elements of, you know, Blitzkrieg. It's very akin to Blitzkrieg, so it's almost like lies in between kind of Blitzkrieg and Men of War, basically. And it could be sometimes compared to Company of Heroes, but obviously that's more of a, you know, base builder as well, you know. So it's kind of, I can't really describe where it falls into, really, but it's a quite a particular game. You do have to really think about how you approach each mission, because you have limited resources.
Guys, why haven't we talked about Men of War? Like, on the other hand, I love this game. I don't know if you played it, but this is amazing series. But anyway, let's get back to the topic. Jack, have you played this game?
I played Sudden Strike 4 very, very, very lightly years and years ago. So I needed to do a refresher where I watched a video, and I think I may have only gotten through like the first or first few campaign missions for the Allied campaign on Sudden Strike 4. I do remember the thing that has always vividly stuck in my mind anytime I heard the name Sudden Strike, or whenever I brought up doing this episode. Like, when I think of Sudden Strike 4, I think of the only thing I really know of it for, but I do remember it left a good impression on me. The very first mission of the Allied campaign, where the paratroopers come in and you're like in those fields and you have to like find multiple of your paratrooper like squadrons and bring them together so you can like amass your you know, just amass your units so that you can prepare. And then I think an enemy tank is nearby or something, and then you're near an abandoned house or something like that. And so I remember that left a really big impression on me, was like the tone and the atmosphere of that first mission in the Allied campaign. And it was something that I wanted to continue playing, but I think I got pulled away because I didn't want to have to deal with the tank at the time, right? That was like the first roadblock in the way. And then I just never ended up going back to it because there's so many other things that pull our attention. But that's my experience with Sudden Strike. So I think Adam and I were basically on the same page here. We're going to have to take a back seat and let Sid, the Sudden Strike historian, walk us through this.
Well, yeah.
I want to add, though, that I like 2 months ago, I bought Humble Bundle package of Sudden Strike games, and I have all of them on my Steam, and I haven't run them, because in the same package, there were Commandos series, and I was hunting for Commandos games, but I got Sudden Strike. Like,
well, there's no excuse now, is there, to play these.
That's what you get, Adam. If you had just spent $5 more at Humble, you could have got the command games, but instead, you went $5 cheaper and you only got the 8 items that were the 7 strikers.
Yeah.
They're criminally cheap now, aren't they? You can pick the first 2 or 3 up for a couple of bucks, I think, these days. Yes, in terms of the history of the game, Sudden Strike was actually not the first game. It was actually the second game the developers made, because the game before Sudden Strike was a game called Counteraction, which was also a real-time sort of tactics game, World War II based, obviously. And it was sort of developed by a Russian studio called Nashi Igri. I don't know. I'm sorry if I've butchered that name, but and it was published by Doka, and it came out in 96 for MS-DOS. And it was a very sort of basic looking game. Almost, if you had a look at screenshots, you would instantly think of, the first Command and Conquer or something like that. You know, it looked very similar to that. Very, very basic, very simple. And then obviously after that, they split up, they broke off, and they went on to form Fireglow Studios, and then that's when the first Sudden Strike was developed. It released a very warm reception because it focused on realism and the realistic aspect of war, and it had real sort of scenarios that actually happened in World War II. So you had a selection of kind of the battles that happened in World War II, basically. And the interesting thing about it was that it tried to be more kind of a larger scale. At the time, it was rarely seen for these sort of larger sort of maps. Yeah, I mean, it's quite a fun game. I like it, so it's it's one of those cool things.
I'm thinking about this series as whole, and like, you played a first installment and the last, but I don't know, like, do you know what was, like, how it changed through the years?
Yeah, I think what happened was obviously that the second one was very similar to the first one. I don't think there was many changes that were made between the first and second. Obviously, the third one, they changed to a 3D engine. They started experimenting with the 3D, but really the fourth one is the one that actually looks the best in terms of graphics and things. I mean, still now, 8 years ago it released, and I played it obviously, earlier on today, and I'm thinking, wow, this still looks great, you know. And when you have a look at the third one, maybe not so much, it's a little bit sort of not kind of a bit outdated now in terms of graphics in that sense, but it actually didn't do as well, I don't think, the third one. I think a few of my friends played it as well, and they didn't really like it, so I never really sort of played it, kind of thing, you know. I sort of didn't really pick up and play it for myself. But from what I saw, yeah, it's kind of, it is, you know, it's similar mechanically to 1 and 2, but in that sort of weird era where they tried going from 2D to 3D, and sometimes, you know, it didn't pan out as well. Like, I don't know if you remember Desperados when they tried the 3D. Do you remember that? When they sort of tried 3D and it was just terrible. It should have just stayed 2D. But the fourth one, I think, nailed it in that sense. It had the mechanics. It improved on the mechanics. Actually, now when I play the first one, it's very, very clunky. I don't know how I managed to play it back in the day. It's still a fun game.
I suppose when you look at the history of Sudden Strike and the discussion of why it doesn't have more of a foothold for strategy gamers and war gamers, Sudden Strike 3 came out in 2007. And then 10 years later, under Kite, the developer, and Calypso, the publisher, they released Sudden Strike 4. And I think it stands to say a lot that right now on Steam, Sudden Strike 4 is sitting at like mostly positive. It has generally positive reviews. When I go to the reviews, I see things where people are generally accepting of the game and happy for it. And it's similar to our conversation about Heroes of Might and Magic, Adam, where it's like a decade since the last game. And so there's room to experiment. Obviously, if the series has been gone for 10 years, they're willing to hire a different developer or experiment and see what they can add and change about the series, because at this point it was already dead, right? So they might as well just try to do what they can. And I suppose in that sense, right, it's like, I think it says a lot that after 10 years they came out with Sudden Strike 4 and it's sitting at mostly positive.
Yeah, you see, like, this is the point exactly like we talked before. So we got to the point that if there wouldn't be any Sudden Strike game, I don't know, for another 5 years, people would only, like, maybe some of them would be like, oh, I wish there would be Sudden Strike game. But anyway, like, no one really, is caring is a bad word, but no one is, like, paying attention to it anymore at this point. So they can push it to some different extents. And what I see, like, no one played Sudden Strike 3 out of three of us, but I looked at the images of this game, and what occurred to me is that it was released in 2007. And 2007 had some pretty good-looking RTS games, like Tiberian Wars was released. Copan of Heroes, the DLC, was already out. World in Conflict was released. And when I see at the graphics and the screenshots of Sudden Strike 3, it looks bad. Like, guys, you can have a look. And of course, you shouldn't look at the graphics. But at that point, you could choose World in Conflict. You could choose Command of Heroes. And Sudden Strike looks like the game out on Sudden Strike 3 looks like the game that was released, I don't know, in 2004.
Yeah, it looks terrible. I'm looking at it now. It looks like a top-down view of the early, like, Call of Duty games. There's just there's one or two textures pulling a lot of weight on this game.
And it's quite incredible that, as you say, Adam, all these sort of other games came out and, you know, that looked great. I mean, I can't speak for the gameplay itself because I never touched it. I mean, yeah, it looking at it now, it's definitely hasn't aged. It definitely hasn't aged well.
Okay, so back to Sudden Strike 4, because I have a questions for that game. Because the gameplay loop you told, and I know that Sudden Strike 1 was all about, like, I don't know, has it changed in, like, has it been developed on in Sudden Strike 4? Because it seems to me like a huge commandos game. You know what I mean? Like, you get a scenario, you get the units, and you need to, like, cope with the situation that you get. But the way to do it is, I wouldn't say, like, really set in advance, but there is not much you can do about, like, it feels to me it's like in commandos. There's, you can feel this path that the developers thought of in order for you to cope with this situation. So is it like, is that the case? Like, because you talked about some I don't know, some commanders or something like that.
Yeah, so basically in terms of gameplay, you're absolutely right. It is almost like a massive commandos kind of game. I mean, the campaigns, they're fairly scripted, right? So the way you approach each mission, there's only a set amount of ways you can play them, I guess, because you do have reinforcements, but they're fairly scripted as well. And what I'm excited to see in Southern Strike 5 is that they're going to be sort of more aiming for sort of a more open, randomized way of calling in reinforcements. Like, for example, you can take over certain points where you're able to then call in reinforcements yourself. So it's not like, you know, Sudden Strike 4, where the reinforcements would be sort of predetermined, pre-sort of scripted. So in Sudden Strike 5, you can now call your own reinforcements when taking, for example, taking control over a radio tower. But you can't just, you know, obviously willy-nilly just calling in as many, you know, reinforcements as you want. You have to kind of, there will be some sort of prestige system that, you know, it will be in the mechanics. So that will be quite interesting to see, basically. But I approach, you know, sort of Sudden Strike 4 as almost, yes, as almost like a Commandos type game, but also it does have its more kind of flexibility in that sense, where you're just not tied into one linear line. There are other sort of points on the map that you can take. For example, if one of the campaign missions, the enemy has destroyed the bridge, for example, the game will tell you what other points you can go to you know, build another bridge to cross. But, you know, like, we're so used to, like, in the modern games where, or city builders even, where you can place any object anywhere. But in Sudden Strike, it's sort of predetermined, you know. So I'm very interested to see how those sort of systems will work in the fifth installment.
Yeah, and before we hop into the actual promises and communications from the developer regarding the recent announcement of Sudden Strike 5, I wanted to go back to what we were talking about before, which is the existing discussion for why Sudden Strike. Why aren't strategy gamers playing it? Why aren't war gamers playing it? I mean, to prepare for this episode, I went to ask a war gamer and they said, I don't care about Sudden Strike. And the question is why, right? I think the answer is pretty simple, and I'll just throw it out there. Sudden Strike is far more arcadey than other military RTSs or military tactics games. When you actually read the reviews that they have on Steam for Sudden Strike 4, the favorable reviews generally come from people who are fans of the series or just enjoy the game. And the negative reviews are people voicing their disappointment by saying, why would you play Sudden Strike? Or I purchased this game and did not like it because I think one of the reviews verbatim is like, my soldiers are able to survive 3 tank hits. And it's, I think, right, like, obviously that would disappoint some people. I think it's kind of something you'd have to get used to, but I'm sure the appeal of Sudden Strike isn't lost or even based on historical accuracy or, say, the arcadiness or realism otherwise of the actual gameplay.
Yeah, so that's exactly the point. I played, as I told you, I played Man of War, and on the scale, like, Man of War is kind of similar game, but the simulation there is took to like the 10th degree in terms of the features. Like, every soldier has a ammunition, they have magazines, you can see if they change magazine. Like, this is really the robust game. And what I remember about Sudden Strike, that it lied in this strange space, that it wasn't simulation, and it wasn't, like, it was arcade RTS and Commandos mixture. But again, like, I don't know, I felt, for example, that in Commandos you have more wiggle in terms of what you can do, and commands, and in Sudden Strike it felt to me, of course, the first game, so it was long time ago, it felt to me really like simple game. And has it changed in the fourth one? I don't know, I haven't played it, so I'm asking you.
Yeah, I mean, the fourth one has a few more things different in terms of, you know, mechanics. But you are right in saying that it is you know, it is more of an arcadey strategy game, and to me, that's completely fine. You know, sometimes you just want to not think about too many minute details, and you just want to, you know, blow some stuff up or, you know, things like that. So it's like, for me, that's totally fine. I mean, I do get if you're a very hardcore wargamer, why you would dislike this game, because you don't have as much control as you would, you know, in things like, as you say, Man of War, for example, all the sort of minute aspects of that game. It sits in its own category, I think, Sudden Strike. You know, it's not for everyone, for sure, but it's also something that you're coming home from work, for example, you just want to sit down and you just want to play something, you know, and then suddenly you run this game and you don't have to think too much about it. You know, you go through the campaigns and things like that, and for the most part, there it's all about fun, I think, at the end of the day with this game. Are you having fun? Because certainly sometimes with me, depending on what time of day it is, I don't want to micromanage every little detail. So for me, it's that perfect sort of, you know, arcadey thing, you know, you can just pick up and play. As Jack said as well, you know, it's the reception from the people who played it as well, you know, that's pretty spot on.
And one thing, Jack, is you told that like this game is not popular. I guess it needs to be somehow popular if they are developing a fifth part. Like, we are getting to, like, the series has got pretty big at this point.
Sudden Strike 5 releasing next year will have marked 9 years since Sudden Strike 4 in 2017, almost 10 years again. So it's crazy. Development times are so wild, but that's its own thing. But it's just, when you think about it, like, I remember, I think I was thinking about this recently with Borderlands, and I was just like, Borderlands 3 just came out, and it actually came out something like 6 years ago, and it's about the same amount of time from Borderlands 3 than it was to Borderlands 2 when that came out, and I thought that was forever. And now I'm like, the other game just came out. But, I mean, we're sitting here, and, like, if I look at Sudden Strike, I don't see it as a 2017 game. Granted, I didn't play it. It wasn't in my daily routine, but 9 years for the next game.
It's worth mentioning this is the same company, so I guess, I don't know, maybe they know what they're doing, because as far as I can see, they made Sudden Strike 3, they made some couple of other games, so...
When you think about strategy games, though, right, it's kind of like hard to... I mean, it's easy, right? We have the numbers, we have the quantitative data, we know the games sell, and we know how much they can make when they release those figures, but, like, Sudden Strike is coming from the same publisher that does Tropico. And when you think about city builders or strategy games in general, Tropico is something we've talked about on the podcast before. It's actually something I've played in my daily routine, but I don't think of it as this mega popular franchise compared to something like some of the big name Paradox titles or some of the big name stuff like Civ or any of the Sid Meier's franchise, frankly. We're sitting here at Tropico 6, and I think they've already anticipated releasing, I think I saw on the Wikipedia for Sudden Strike with Calypso, Tropico 7 is coming out next year. I mean, yes, this game must be popular and have made some money, right, for them to want to make Sudden Strike 5. But I don't know. It's it clearly has somewhat of a dedicated fan base.
What I feel is that Calypso, focus of this publisher, Calypso, it's called Calypso Media. Yeah, Calypso Media. I guess it's on this franchises that sells to the specific niche, because when I'm looking at their portfolio, it's like Tropico, of course, Commando series, Dungeons. I don't know if you are aware of Dungeon series, but basically this is like a successor to Dungeon Keeper, and it's already on a, like, it's fourth. There are four games already, or five with spin-off. But again, let's go on. Disciples, Sudden Strike, Railway Empire. So they're going, like, this publisher focuses on this really, maybe not small, but this dedicated fan bases, and basically somehow manages to keep up with producing games exactly for them. You know what I mean? Because Sudden Strike is for people who like Sudden Strike. For me, it would be really, really hard to encourage a new player to play this game. It's really hard to find its like core feature that's for them. But if you are a Sudden Strike player, of at some point you thought about playing Sudden Strike, you know what they're getting into, and you probably will buy a fifth game because there's nothing like that anymore, I believe.
It just seems to me that Calypso is making games for themselves at this point, which is kind of cool. It's very commendable. I really sort of, my hat's off to developers that still support these sort of not niche, but kind of in between sort of niche and sort of the less popular sort of games. Certainly for me, when I saw the announcement of Sudden Strike 5, I got really excited. I started sweating, you know. So, so basically, yeah. I mean, there are people. I suppose there are people like me, you know, that do get excited for things like this, even though they may not be sort of popular in the mainstream, or maybe not as popular as, say, something like, you know, Company of Heroes. Maybe that's probably more popular than Sudden Strike. But it's nice to see that sort of these developers are continuing to make these games, even though it takes maybe 10 years, you know, coming up to 9 years now. And yeah, you're right, Jack, as well, you know, games development, the gap is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So I'm thinking at some point, do they rely on the AI aspect of video game making, which probably is a topic for another day. But in terms of these sort of developers still wanting to make these games is quite commendable, I think.
What I see right now, and like when I hear how you're describing this series, like I guess they have this chance to push it to this arcade gameplay. What I mean is that let's look at the Commando series. I don't know if you are aware, but in today, like there's like a, maybe not a big, but there are some Commandos game appearing like every month or twice, or like, I don't know, every half of the year. There is something similar to Commandos. Like there was Shadow Tactics, there were Desperados 3, there were like steampunk game, both of them, I don't remember the name. So they're being published, the games in this genre. And when I played this game, it occurred to me that basically they grasp this concept of Commandos gameplay and they really push it to be more arcadey. So there are challenges, there are speedruns built in this game. So maybe Sudden Strike could go this way too. Like if it's already an arcade game, let's, you know, make it more like modern in terms of being an arcade game. Like today's arcade games needs for sure leaderships, for sure some challenges, for sure some hidden, I don't know, hidden stuff. Maybe some revamps, like, you know, second playthrough types of challenge for every map or something like that. So maybe that's a way to, you know, to appeal to them more younger or more modern audience.
Yeah, so let's actually dive into Sudden Strike, right? And I think this is like the ultimate part of this discussion. For the Critical Moves listeners, I'm talking to you directly. You're thinking, why Sudden Strike? Why are we talking about it? If we're sitting here and on the episode, we're saying it's not a very popular strategy game, it's not a very popular tactics war game, it's not heavily loved by people who favor historical accuracy or realism or strategy in general. So why Sudden Strike? Why are we talking about it? It's not just because they announced Sudden Strike 5, but it's also because of the various details that have emerged from Sudden Strike 5, which I personally, I don't want to speak too early. I don't want to set my, I don't want to bet on it, but I feel like there's kind of a pot brewing here with Sudden Strike 5. So when you actually read about some of the things that they've announced for Sudden Strike 5, it starts to point or I guess paint a picture similar to what Adam was just talking about, right? So Sudden Strike 5 out of the gate promises to add significantly more units, so both troops and vehicles to the overall game, even larger maps, and far more functionality when it comes to interacting with your units, the way that they use their routes and the pathfinding that they have. Apparently skins for historical accuracy, I think I read, or something like that, so you can actually like customize your troops significantly more. Maybe that was incorrect, but in general, the things I do know to be true is the larger maps, significantly more vehicles to play around with, and troops. Similarly, probably a very long campaign, similar to what I've seen for Sudden Strike 4. And on top of all of that, just far more functionality when it comes to interacting with your units. So apparently you can control the pace of the battles, and you can also do things like pick and choose when your units use their abilities, which, I mean, it's funny, right? Because what wargamer wants to play a World War II game where their units have abilities, right? They're trying to play and they have like an MP40 and they're Operation Overlord, right? So, but in Sudden Strike 4, you know, your tanks have ultimate abilities that you're you know, basically exercising throughout the battle. But I think that stuff is actually pretty positive. Some other things that Sudden Strike 5 is releasing with is going to be, for the first time, I think, in the series, co-op. And while there has been multiplayer, this is the first time they're going to have co-op PvE gameplay modes to allow players to progress the game together, or I guess play skirmishes or situations together in that way. And so I think everything together, right, is building a much larger sandbox for the already existing arcadey feel. And this is Calypso, right? They didn't make Tropico 6 and then turn it into like a police state. They made Tropico 6 and they made it just as ridiculous as Tropico 5 and just as niche because it's a city builder with a dictator. So they didn't lean into Sudden Strike 5 and then say, let's bring in realism and let's try to pursue the same general genre of wargaming with a historical take on World War II, because there's already plenty of those. Let's just build a really big arcadey sandbox with World War II elements and features and provide that to players. So that part is really cool.
And if you look at this, this game this way, basically there's no other game like it, to be honest. Like right now, if you're developing World War II game, it needs to be simulation. Like, I don't know, I remember a game called Battlefield Heroes that was a FPS, arcadey FPS set in those times. And I cannot think of any other game that's arcadey and set in historical environment like Sudden Strike. So, yeah, for me, the idea to, you know, push its core and, you know, to the extent and, again, appeal to co-op players, like, for me, it's nice to, because I cannot play co-op games like this with my friends. Like, I don't have many hardcore warfare fans, but I could, I don't know, I guess I could encourage one or two of them to buy this game and play co-op missions with me, because they like RTS games. They are not that hard to play, so in terms of not so deep to play, so why not?
Yeah, I think they're aiming for accessibility, I think. I think they're trying to sort of get more people to play this game. I mean, obviously, with Sudden Strike 4, you did have, you know, the ability to play with a controller, for example. You know, you could play with a controller. And anytime, you know, when I hear strategy games that are available, you know, with a controller as well, I'm always sort of reserve judgment in that sense. I'm like, oh, is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? But I think they're trying to sort of get more people to play this game. I mean, looking at the Sudden Strike 5 features in terms of what it will have gets me quite excited. So it's going to have 300 units. So that's many, many, many more units than what's currently available. 190 vehicles, 110 infantry units. It will have a 25-hour campaign, which will be split, I think, that they do mention this 25 sort of main mission campaigns with potentially even more added post-launch as well. And it's going to have 10 famous battles across Europe and North Africa. Obviously, the factions, the Axis, Soviets, and the Western allies. You're going to have this time around 9 customizable commanders, which will be sort of, you know, 3 per faction, which is nothing new. But in terms of gameplay-wise, I think the ability to customize the commanders, I think that's pretty exciting for me. And as you say, multiplayer mode as well, which doesn't specify whether how it will work in that sense, but the PvE mode co-op is very exciting for me. You know, so I think they're sort of aiming to have this game be played by, you know, people that don't often play these kind of games because maybe they're put off by the level of realism or micromanagement that these types of games have.
I may be strange, and I don't know if you feel it the same way, but if I see a game that has that's in series, like, so you get the first, second, fourth, and so on, and I see the game got like a fifth title, like, for me it's kind of the advertisement for the series too. Like, if the series would be so bad, like, why should they develop it so long? Like, we got Civ 7. Okay, it's not that good, but still, the series got 7 games, at least, not looking at spin-offs and other games that were developed. So, like, for me, just this 5 number is a kind of the advertisement for the game.
No, absolutely. And I think an interesting thing about that that most people don't really think about, but it affects all of us, right, is when you're a fan of a series, right, when you watch Heroes of Might and Magic 3 progress to be 4, 5, 6, and then 7, at the time, somebody might have played Heroes of Might and Magic 7 and thought this game was amazing. And then as a longtime fan of Heroes of Might and Magic, you're like, this game sucks. And the fact that you're enjoying it bothers me because this is such a departure from the series that I liked. And so what's interesting, right, we talked about it before, there's reviews for Sudden Strike 4 that complain that it's not enough like Sudden Strike 1 and 2. And I'm sure Sudden Strike 3 got complaints where it wasn't enough like 1 and 2, but without a 10-year gap between them. What's funny, right, is that Sudden Strike 5 is coming out, and I think the interesting angle that I'm getting it is that it's promising co-op. They're like tripling the amount of units available in the game. Like Sid said, there's over 100 in Sudden Strike 4, and that's what caught my eye first. Sudden Strike 5 is going to offer over 300, so they're almost tripling the amount of available arcade sandbox units and vehicles in the game. 190 vehicles is crazy. So that said, right, if the multiplayer comes out and works, if the co-op is fun, if the campaign is interesting to play single player, but that's kind of secondary to this part of the discussion, and if the sandbox works, Sudden Strike 4 might make a little bit of a splash when it lands. Sudden Strike 5. And when people hop on that, everybody that played Sudden Strike 4 is going to be like, this game freaking sucks, why are you playing it? You know, or people who like Sudden Strike 1 and 2 are going to be upset that Sudden Strike 5 is so successful, even though it's such a big departure. But that's kind of what a series like Sudden Strike can do. If they're already departing in some ways from the first two games and they're finding a new audience, and we're complaining at a journalistic point that Sudden Strike exists but is not very popular in the popular speak for wargaming and strategy games, and this isn't just a bandwagon, we're not sitting here saying like the majority matters, it's just it's hard to find somebody individually that plays Sudden Strike. It's hard to find those people where if they go out in public and see them and talk to them and be like, do you play Sudden Strike? And then they say, yes, I actually enjoy this game. So if Sudden Strike 5 lands and it's interesting and good, people will play it, and then that will be the future of the series, right?
I believe we are in these days, like as we talked during some previous episodes, that RTS games are not so popular, but I believe they're like... Sudden Strike for sure is not feeling this audience of RTS games. I believe that if they could pull up this arcadey stuff and co-op stuff better, that they could get some really, maybe not big audience, but much bigger than they have right now. Like, you know, the audience is so narrow, even in this RTS audience terms, that they have space to grow. And that's what I guess they are aiming for. For these other people who play games. And as you said, like, if I would go to, I don't know, to some pub, whatever, and ask people who are playing games, have you heard about Sudden Strike? Like, people would, I don't know, buy me a Sudden Strike shot or something at this bar, and they wouldn't know there's a game like that. Like, it's such, maybe not a niche title, but it's such not popular title at this point.
I think definitely this time they are sort of aiming for that audience, for that certain audience now, which... that sort of younger audience who are into sort of online games and things like that. I mean, they're trying to aim for basically the support of both cooperative and competitive multiplayer modes with the large maps. And obviously, you know, with the freedom in strategy, I think this should be quite cool. I mean, it's they're sort of aiming for that unpredictability, I think. It's going to also, well, they promised to feature leaderboards, team play options, you know, maybe some sort of social aspect to it as well. So I think they're really aiming to stick around for the long term, I think, with this release. You know, hopefully many years of post-launch stuff, you know, even more things added on. Hopefully, you know, a nice modding community.
Yeah, again, this as I talked previously, for example, me and my friends, we got into playing bar. And we did it in the way, we haven't started playing PvP, we started playing PvE first. Because we're like, let's have fun, let's sit down, play this game, let's watch what will happen. And we got so deeply into PvE, it pushed us into playing PvP. Because PvE, you know, it's a kind of laid-back experience. You lose, but, you know, we are playing with your friends. Who cares? You can play another round or not. Like, who cares? But, and it's, if you're playing, like, if you are getting into the game, at some point PvE is not enough of the challenge. And then you move to the PvP.
And before we fully table the discussion about Sudden Strike 4 and Sudden Strike 5's potential, we talked about it a lot on the podcast, but Broken Arrow came out this year, and that was a, I suppose, far more realistic military sim. And the most discourse that we see for this game, outside of being potentially the best RTS of 2025, is that the game really took off with multiplayer audiences, even though the majority of players are going to be single player. And the game is suffering from the reception from the multiplayer audience because of various things like instability and I believe there's just balancing issues across the factions. And so that's probably just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to that. And I'm sure we'll have people who I mean, there's so many people who tried Broken Arrow this year. I'm sure they'll come into the comments and let us know exactly what's wrong with it. But I mean, they've talked about it plenty on this podcast. Al, Nuno, everybody. I mean, everybody really. So the market for a RTS war game is still very large because Broken Arrow was not only commercially successful and invaded my friend group that's primarily not strategy gamers, and they were playing Broken Arrow. And so I guess the reason why we are even somewhat jokingly saying that there's potential for Sudden Strike 5 is because there's an appetite for RTS games that are multiplayer in that way. The deeper part of the story is that in my research, I think I've discovered that currently, as of this episode recording and probably being aired by this point, Sudden Strike 4 has major multiplayer issues. So apparently the reception on Steam has been very poor because even though it's 9 years on, the game is I don't know exactly what the extent of the multiplayer problems are, but there's consistent complaints across the Steam discussions page. The developers have multiple links back to a Steam discussion post where they say, come back here for an update where we'll have fixed and let the community know what the problems are with multiplayer. And that was back in July, and we still don't have an update. So I don't know that the developers are prioritizing it or that the multiplayer will ever be fixed for Sudden Strike 4. Granted, it's old news. Sudden Strike 5 is coming out next year. you know, if that's any sign at all that this similar amount of development time or care or consideration goes into Sudden Strike 5 and then it has multiplayer issues, it'll suffer a much worse fate than even Broken Arrow. But Broken Arrow was a new IP, and we've talked about that a lot, and it gained a massive fan base for that. And so I think if the similar amount of people, or even a fraction of the amount of people who tried Broken Arrow, are interested in an arcadey, historically based RTS tactics game, Sudden Strike 5 will be around the corner. And if they do lean into those things, which I think they should, then they'll probably find a strong foothold. And I would love for whenever that game comes out next year for us to do a follow-up episode where we either talk about how badly it did and we laugh the whole time, jerks we are, or we're praising it because we have review codes.
Yeah, of course. that's what we are doing. If we got review codes, basically we are praising the game. But again, but I would say this is really also interesting topic, because I heard about the issues with Broken Arrow. I heard about the issues with Shadow Strike for multiplayer side, of course, with stability and so on. And after I played Beyond of Lyrisian, there's no, for me, I cannot understand, like, why this day there are still issues in multiplayer stability. Like, Beyond of Lyrisian is a free game developed by some fans, and servers are held by community, and they are crazy stable comparing to other games I played this year. So hopefully they are focusing on Shadow Strike 5 server stability. And as you said, maybe there will be some pissed off fans who like, let's play the game that is stable and it's not crashing constantly in multiplayer, and they will choose Shadow Strike 5. Maybe that's the way too.
I mean, it's really hard, isn't it? Because, as you know, in terms of developing games, what do you prioritize? You know, do you prioritize multiplayer or do you prioritize sort of single player? You know, it's a really fine balance, isn't it, to basically manage. It must be really hard to manage, you know. But we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, I articulated this before on the podcast when we talked about maybe it was our second or third or 15th episode on narratives and strategy games, but whenever I broke it down, right, it's like strategy games have such a tight spot to be in. The majority of strategy gamers, as Al would put it, are single-player gamers. And so they're interested in some kind of narrative campaign. Adam speaks super highly about Warcraft 3, and clearly the narratives of strategy games can matter. And so the thing is, right, with multiplayer, strategy games cost a lot of money to implement multiplayer, even compared to some other titles, because while other titles have to compensate and are continuously releasing games with less and less features in multiplayer, I would argue, strategy games have to maintain a pretty strict fan base where if they want to appeal to them, they're going to have to release things like 1v1s, 2v2s, 4v4s, 16s versus 16s, things like that. I mean, Beyond All Reason offers, I think, up to 40 versus 40 or something like that. And to compensate for those things, differently from how other games do it, they have to have maps that suit those things, that offer resources that accommodate those game types or the amount of players in them, where something like an FPS can have maps that already suit 5 versus 5 players, let alone 1 versus 1, and they don't have to compensate for or consider those changes in the gameplay whenever you're interacting with those systems. But a strategy game does. There's calculations, there's math, all of that has to be quality tested. And so if you focus on those things, it costs a lot of money. But you know it costs more money? Developing a narrative and producing cutscenes that run in-engine or are rendered in some way for a strategy game, which are also additionally costly. Hiring voiceover actors and everything, and then designing a game that fits your narrative, or I suppose designing a narrative that might even fit your game, because we've had a discussion about whether or not one comes after the other. So I just think strategy games are in a really tight spot where it costs them a lot of money. And we keep talking about the ballooning prices of games anyways. And this is far off topic from Sudden Strike now, but that's where we are, right? We're talking about 9 or 10 year gaps in these games. And we're also talking about Civ 7 after Civ 6 and the fact that we waited nearly a decade for that game. And it sucks, according to Critical Moves. Like, why did it take so long and how did that happen? But it's just, That's what happens at this point. If they were going to make another Warcraft 3, they would have to have written a narrative that was compelling, hire all of those cast members, and make sure it all runs perfectly. And then there will still be people that complain that there's no multiplayer if you don't do that. And if you fail at any of the narrative parts, you're losing the ability to win awards or be considered for anything in the industry. But if your multiplayer sucks, you just make people unhappy.
Yeah, but we also talked about being smart in terms of game development. Like, we know that the budgets for the strategy games are not that big. So again, like, being smart in that case is, let's get back to the games like Shadow Tactics. So they don't have budgets for cutscenes, they don't have budgets for animated stuff, but due to basically what they are showing is this figures that basically in RTS games are really small, like they animate them, so it's not costing them much of work in terms of what they're doing. They're basically moving units around, they add voiceovers to it, and they create really interesting campaigns through it. So back to the Sudden Strike. What they're doing, like, they have 12 missions in the whole game, but they're making challenges, remixes, replays, new game pluses for each mission. So it gives you incentive to play them like 7 times. That's again what the Sudden Strike could do to make the game really good in terms of, like, I don't know, 10, 20 missions, and then revamp them, make some challenges, and introduce the plot in the smart way, not in a bloated AAA style that, like, the games try to, I guess. Like, I know it's always nice to have a AAA plot in a game, but, you know, in today's world, it's not possible. And I believe that's what the Sudden Strike authors are going for. Like, they say they want to make 300 different units. That's a crazy number. That's a number that's not possible for any simulation and multiplayer, balanced multiplayer and focused game. It's simply not possible to balance 300 units. So what they are aiming for is the pure fun. And maybe due to addition of co-op, which is more laid back gameplay style, maybe they will achieve it. Like, why not? I see there's, okay, not a huge pie, but let's say there's a small piece of cake to be still taken in our RTS audience.
Yeah, there's certainly huge, huge potential for this. If they do it right, if they make a good sandbox, you know, there's a massive, massive sort of opportunity for this, because there really isn't, you know, an RTS or a real-time tactics game that's like this, that could be, you know, just pure fun. You know, you don't have to use your brain much, you don't have to micromanage as much, just pure fun, grab a buddy, you know, do some co-op missions, PvE, PvP, and hopefully it will have a nice, stable online community, like, you know, the game we don't mention often, you know? But we'll just, you know, have to wait and see.
Well, I think that kind of ties a bow really nicely on this whole discussion, because full circle moment, we're back to talking about the potential of Sudden Strike 5. And, you know, we had to contextualize the state of RTS right now, the games that have already come out, what they're actually promising for it. And, I mean, we also got to take a little quick look at the history of Sudden Strike and talk about why it doesn't work and or why there might be appeal to it, but why there isn't so much appeal to it. So, I mean, I thought it was a good talk. So thanks both of you for joining me for that.
No worries. And thank you for having me. Also excited to be on my very first show talking about, you know, Sudden Strike. So we'll have to see how it pans out. Hopefully we'll be back to talk about Sudden Strike again.
Yeah, me and Adam will be complaining from the co-op that we played with each other for the review feed or something. But yeah, so thanks so much for joining us, Sid, for your first episode of Critical Moves. Can't wait to see what else you do and contribute for future episodes. So everybody, please give Sid a warm welcome in the comments and be excited for what else he shows up on here coming soon. As a growing strategy games podcast, we're so grateful to have people listen. And if this is your first episode of Critical Moves, You can find us at criticalmovespodcast.com. We have hyperlinks to a Discord where you can come and get involved and talk to us here on the team and suggest episode ideas. And if you're a developer, you can kind of contact us pretty directly there. If you are listening to this on streaming platforms, we're also on YouTube. We have milestone goals for subscribers, so come stop by. We upload just about 3 times a week, I think. I was putting in the work. And so everybody, please check out Critical Moves on YouTube, the website criticalmovespodcast.com, and thank you so much for listening. So see everybody next time. See ya, Adam. See ya, Sid.